All right, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're tuned to Radio Islam International. This is the Wildlife and Outdoor Program. We're going to be talking about first aid, and we're talking to Shahnaz Muhammad. From 7:35 onwards to 8 o'clock, we have the fishing program. Now, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about first aid, and Shahnaz Muhammad is a basic life support paramedic. They've just completed a doctor apprenticeship, and it says, my company, Heart Starters Medical Training, was established in the year 2017. And she's a school teacher in Mondi High School and offers first aid level 3 training for anybody interested in learning skills to be a first responder. Let's welcome Shahnaz Muhammad on the program. Shahnaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shahnaz.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shahnaz, jazakallah for your time. And to the listeners, any questions you have, you can WhatsApp it to us on the number 072-786-1548 or call us alternately on the number call us on 011-854-1548. All right, Shahnaz, firstly, why is learning first aid such an important skill to learn?
Mulana, I feel that people are dealing on a daily basis with trauma, in terms of hurting themselves, simple things like cutting yourself or children playing, getting hurt. It's always good to understand what to do in a situation like that. Rather than panicking, we can try and help people. And I think every single person needs to know what to do in a case of an emergency.
Yeah, that's so true, that just having that skill to know what to do in an emergency, if somebody gets hurt, if somebody gets injured, the basic steps that you should follow. Now, from what age can we train to be a first responder?
Well, there's no specific age. About just now, recently, I trained the children at the kindergarten kids in Extension 7, where I taught the little ones how to deal with injuries or immediate response to a friend that's getting hurt in the park, or playing at home, your little brother or sister starts choking, what must you do? So in a case like that, I would say as soon as a child is of an understanding age, those children are about, I would say, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And it's not that I'm teaching them the level 3. They're learning the basic life support. So it's basic things, how to respond if somebody gets hurt, or if you are there and you see something happening, or helping yourself, for an example, if they get hurt, instead of panicking and doing something silly, they need to know how to help themselves and get help to get to them if it's a serious situation. So from any age, I think they're able to train and learn how to deal with an emergency.
And then, Shahnaz, we live in a time and an era of phones and internet that is available right at our fingertips. Many times I've seen it and experienced it, that somebody would get hurt and the first thing that they would do is look for some home remedies, or even Google, what should I do if this happens? What's your advice on that?
Well, personally, I don't advise home remedies in a hurry. The reason being is there are a lot of side effects. So yes, when we were growing up, we learned that if you're bleeding, take the arid and put the arid on your hand, and it's going to stop the bleeding. And we did it when we were younger. And then as you study and you're going further, you realize that yes, we probably are educated enough to know that arid has an antibiotic in it. That doesn't mean it, a powder form you put on your hand is going to help you. It's taking it in orally in different forms. That's how it helps. And I'll give you a typical example. Some time back, a lady called me and she said, I need to get there as soon as possible because she hurt herself. And when I got there, she cut her hand very badly. And the first thing she did was she went for the turmeric powder, for the arad. And she felt her the hole in her hand, the bleeding didn't even stop much, but anyway, rushed her to hospital, and yes, now the doctors had to get through all of that before they actually got to what the problem was to stitch her. And obviously you can't clean all of that out. And her hand got infected. So it comes with its own sort of problems when you use home remedies. And even when someone burns and they put in Colgate and we put in egg white
and
these
coffee.
Things. These things go scary and coffee, you know. So instead of doing that, I mean, if you burn, instead of going for the egg white or for the Colgate, I mean, if you just go with tap water, there's no scarring left on the body if it's not serious. Or if there is scarring, it won't be as bad as trying to get off whatever we've put on there before we actually get to dealing with the burn itself.
Mm.
So home remedies sometimes could work, but I think majority of the time, the side effects of it is not very good. So, yeah, that's another thing to get educated on what can and can't you do when you're in a home situation.
What is your advice, Sarah, to those that are maybe at home, mums that are at home? Do you think that they should also study or they should learn about first aid or being a first responder?
I think mummies are the first people that need to train because they're always busy with their children. And children do silly things, putting small little items into their mouth and choking, or sticking crayons into their nostrils, or anything for that matter. We can't really say where children think of the things they do sometimes. And the moms panic. They panic and they don't know what to do. And when they don't know what to do, they'll end up either inflicting more pain on a kid, or they themselves go into cardiac arrest because of shock, and they don't know how to stay calm and deal with the situation until help gets to them. So when you're training, it's not all about just fixing wounds and fixing it. It's learning how to deal with a situation until help gets to you. That's basically what it is.
Shanaz, the question is with regards to first aid. Before, I want to ask you with regards to somebody who's bleeding heavily, how do you treat them? More about, you know, somebody choking, what do you do? And with regards to heart attacks as well. But before we come to that, what would you say are the basic steps of first aid?
I would say, I always speak about the triple H. Remember, we need to preserve, prevent, and promote. So preserving, you want to preserve a life or preserve an injury. Prevent it from getting worse.
Yeah.
And you want to promote help. You want to promote sort of a person that's actually hurt, to promote it to get better, to get a remedy for them. So I would call that the triple P. And the triple H is the hazards, hello, help. Get rid of any hazards. Remember to identify yourself, saying, hello, my name is Shanaz, and this is who I am, and this is what I do, and getting help. Try and get an ambulance to come in and help you. Or sometimes we can't get to an ambulance, but at least get somebody else to come and assist you, because we're not superheroes. We can't do everything ourselves. So we need to get help to us in order for the patient that's going through whatever they're going to get the help that they need. So it's always important to understand these things, and this is why we do first aid. I mean, we can't be panicking, and then, I mean, one thing leads to another when you're not in a calm situation.
Okay. A question with regards to, you know, earlier we spoke about using coffee and using caricature and using this and Colgate for bleeding. I remember years ago as well, you know, when I got cut, Kurmani time, it was a deep cut, and I was advised for everybody, but just keep a tin of coffee next to you. So the whole day I was, you know, putting some coffee on this wound, but never really helped much. It stopped the bleeding to a certain extent, but eventually I had to go to the doctor. Shanaz, the question is, what do you do first when somebody is bleeding heavily?
First thing you would do is apply pressure to a wound. So my first advice is, you never touch anybody's blood, no matter who it is. Always make sure you're gloved up. And if there's no gloves, improvise. Try and cover your hands, any of your wounds that may be opened. And I don't think people understand that the viruses that get transferred is very, very important, that you protect yourself from hepatitis, HIV. There's a lot of other diseases. So the first thing you do, glove up, put pressure on that wound for as long as possible. Then clean it off with an alcohol swab or any antiseptic wipe or whatever you can use. And thereafter, you put on gauze and a bandage, or it's not so serious, a plaster. But we need to put enough pressure so that this wound can stop bleeding. And then get your the person in as soon as possible, if it's a serious wound, get them straight to a hospital or to a doctor for stitches. And if the bleeding is severe, then we try and, if it's on the leg or on the arm, we try and elevate the limb higher than the heart, because obviously then it takes the heart longer to pump the blood in an upper direction. So we try and lift the limb and get the person to safety, to a doctor, and try and get it stitched. Or if anything more serious, then we get them to a hospital, get an ambulance to come in as we start.
Okay. A very important question, Shanaz, with regards to, you know, sometimes we face with a situation, you know, somebody is experiencing a heart attack. What do you do? You know, what should you start off with, and what do you do if somebody is experiencing a heart attack next to you?
Immediately we call for help. No matter what the situation is, we always call for help. So first thing you do, call for help. Then we go and we check if there's any hazard. If there's anything that could be, if our patient is safe, in a safe environment. Remember, our safety first. You can't put your life in danger to save somebody. So safety should be there. And identify yourself to the patient and let them know who you are. Immediately, just start CPR. We don't always have mouthpieces where we can say we do mouth-to-mouth. So what I train people to do is hands-on only CPR. And it's quite easy. You lock your hands. First, you got to check pulse if the person is unconscious. With your two fingers, your index finger, your middle finger, fingertips, right next to the trachea, which is your breathing pipe. For 10 seconds, see if you can feel a pulse. Can't feel the pulse, we then use what we call look, listen, and feel. So you're looking at your abdomen, your stomach area, which obviously rises and falls when you do breathe. So you're checking if it either rises and falls. You listen for breathing through the mouth. And you try and feel if there's any air coming onto your cheek while you're listening. So that's done simultaneously. If there's nothing, we lock our hands. And in the middle center of the chest, we start doing chest compressions. And the chest compressions is done in 10, 10, 10. That's 30 compressions, and 50 compressions is now one cycle. After one cycle is over, we check for the pulse, we check for breathing. If there's still nothing available, we carry on until help gets to us. And if, unfortunately, help is very, very far, then you do it until you can handle it. And if you can't, remember, doctors and paramedics, what is not in our hands, life is not in our hands. So we do what we can. And beyond that, if there's nothing more you can do, you leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
And if the person, in the interim, if you're doing the chest compressions and they show any sign of life, coughing, vomiting, breathing, immediately we put them into a recovery position where you put the hand under their head and turn them to their side so that they may be laying on their side. And that's what we call a recovery position.
And finally, I should ask for those that would like to do a course, whether it's just a basic or up to the level 3, how long does it take for a person to study or to equip themselves with the correct knowledge?
If someone's interested in just basic learning level 1, 2, or 3, it can be done within a day, sometimes 2 days, depending on how many people, how big the group is. So usually when I do it, I take a day, and in that day we can finish up to a level 3. That includes the practicals and the theoretical exams. And it's not a long procedure, but if you want to go further, become paramedics and things, then obviously you've got to apply through a university and study for 4 years and get the necessary skill that you need.
Okay. Shanaz, thank you so much for the information. I think it's important that you know, we keep a first aid kit at home as well. And like they say, you can't prevent accidents, but you can have a good first aid kit at hand. And we've got to understand the golden rules of first aid. JazakAllah so much, Shanaz. Much appreciated. And inshallah, we talk soon again.
Inshallah. JazakAllah for taking the time to speak to me,
Mohammed. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.